Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Happy Monday to you. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. Let's sit back and chat about what is happening up in the stars for not only today, but for the week ahead, or at least taking a peek at the week ahead. And here it is, only 7:59. For some reason, I thought I was running late and I was like in a hurry to get everything done. And I was early. How fun is that? So hopefully all of you will catch up with me here in just a few minutes and be able to join me live this morning. So I'm rustling papers together here because I have really a lot of things that are flowing through me today that I would really love to share with everybody. And I'm going to try to do this in as coherent a manner as possible and as let's just say there's a lot to talk about, and it has to do with love and being a human, right? Being a human, love and being a human. So let's go ahead and dig in. I'll say good morning really quickly. Colleen, good morning to you, and Mimi, good morning. And it's great to see you ladies out there. I hope you had a great weekend. It was a rainy weekend here in the Pacific Northwest. I didn't even go to football games on Saturday because I did not feel like sitting out in uncovered stadiums in the rain. Just wasn't ready for that. And here we are in the last full week of summer in the Northern Hemisphere and the last full week of winter for you all in the Southern Hemisphere. We are getting ready to make a shift. And that shift is the seasonal turn. And in human design, we often see a change in the direction of the energy. It comes to a point in time where these are the gates of love and the turning of those four gates. And it turns out there are really many more gates of love that we could talk about. And one of those gates of love is where the sun will be sitting this week. The sun at gate six and the earth at gate 36. Together, they form a channel that is highly energetic. It's not really a channel, excuse me, but they form the energy of a week. That is a bit, if we're living out the shadow, it creates conflict and turbulence, not exactly pretty energies. And of course, they're both on the emotional solar plexus. So what we find is this week we are dealing with very strong emotional energy for good, perhaps, or for ill, perhaps, depending on where we are expressing in the spectrum. In fact, you may come into contact with many different possible or potential emotional issues, either coming up from within you or from other people outside of you. But the main lesson in all of this week should be about applying love to all of those instances. And so to me, that makes this week a really good week. But it has the potential to take us down into some really interesting energies. Let's see who else is joining us now. Good morning, Jan Landry and Cassildra. Great to see you, sweetheart. And I'm sure there are other people here. Somehow I can't scroll anymore, so we'll just continue talking. We start the day this morning with the moon in Aries. And for the week, the moon travels through the sign of Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and finally the weekend in Cancer. The moon in Aries today turns void of course in just a little bit more than an hour, and then it is void of course until tomorrow at 3:31 a.m. when the moon will have moved into Taurus. So here we go, another Monday where we are in void. Now, for those of you on the East Coast, that won't happen until noon today for you. So you have a couple of hours this morning where you might have been able to get some things done. For us on the West Coast, though, 9 a.m., pretty much the beginning of our workday. And as you know, this is a time where we don't push ourselves into something. We don't start something big, something new, something untried. We perhaps take the time to clear off our desks, finish things that we started at the end of the week last week, or we maybe plan or prepare for a new beginning or to do something new. But we kind of wait. It's a bit of a wait game here for all of the day today and into, middle of the night. Come on, 3:30 a.m. my time, 6:31 for you all. Tomorrow morning, the moon will have moved into Taurus. So today, before the moon in Aries goes void, we have a couple of transits that the moon is triggering. One is a trine to Jupiter, so that's a good thing. Here we are in sort of I guess it could be a good thing if you are okay with waiting to enact the wonderful visions that you may be getting, or being able to channel your optimism and your excitement in a way that doesn't push out into the world in a new way. The last aspect that the moon will make today before it goes into the void is a square to Pluto. So, squaring Pluto for several hours, the moon brings us into deep emotional territory. The energy is about transformation. It is about empowerment. We may be left with a feeling of being disempowered, or hopefully you can see where it is that you can empower yourself and be working behind the scenes to do that today. So let's see, anybody else checking in here that I can scroll to? Good morning, Rebecca and Christine Erickson and Ann Stevens. Good morning to see you out. It's good to see you. And Asa and Allison and Natasha. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you all. And I hope everybody that's joining us had a great weekend and are prepared to put your shoes on and run for the week, even though today's not that day. Today's that kind of wobbly day where it's more important for you to meditate, do some yoga, go do some exercise perhaps, study, do anything except starting new things. So what are the highlights of this week in terms of the astrology? Oh God, there's a bird sitting right here at my door. What are you? Looks like a robin that is molting perhaps. Yeah, I don't know. Haven't seen robins lately, but because now we have all this rain, they can come back and start digging up the worms in the grasses, I guess. So this week, the big news, big three, there's big three things here this week. One is Saturn turning direct. Saturn, remember, went retrograde in April. And so we have been living with the results perhaps of having deconstructed something. We had a moment, those 4 months, perhaps almost 5 months actually, of being able to rebuild from the inner world out. And now this week, I think it's Wednesday, that Saturn changes direction. Then we will be able to see the effects of some of the things that we've done on the inner planes reflected to us in the outer world. Now, of course, Saturn turning direct means it is on its way for its 2020 conjunction with Pluto, and begins a process of closing out its final degrees in the sign of Capricorn, as next year, early in the year, it moves out of Capricorn and into Aquarius, wobbling a bit. But yes, we're getting ready to change the direction of our authority, and we are in then the final energy stages of creating that new foundation. Remember, Saturn in Capricorn has been very much exposing our weaknesses, the chinks in our armor, or the unsustainable spots that in the foundations that we've created. And so we now have the time, the energy to rebuild, reimagine, and perhaps even re-establish ourselves in some way, in a more powerful way out there in the world. And that might mean in your career, it may be in your relationships, it may have been in your finances, it might have been in your health. But all of us have been in some way exposed to where our Achilles heel is, where our weakness is in our foundation, and then needing to build that foundation in a new, stronger way, right? You cannot support a house of cards on sand, right? It's ever shifting and it can fall. So Saturn has been triggering our need to build something stronger. The second major transit for the week is a Mars trine Pluto. I put keywords underneath that. One, I put kaboom. The second one, I put quake, because there's this energy with these two planets. They're both powerhouses. A trine is the ease and flow of the energy. It's kind of like no stop signs. You know, when you're on a long street, a long stretch, and you see all green lights ahead, that's kind of Mars and Pluto energy, the ability to just zoom, 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 but without thought to what is happening. And those two together sometimes create a very powerful, they feed into powerful undercurrents that move through our reality. Now, Mars, of course, is the action principle, Pluto, the transformation Pluto, or transformation, Mars, the action principle, Pluto, the transformation principle, and they're pushing in this week for change. And they're pushing in a way that can be difficult, I think, for some people. And because Mars is a personal planet, you personally may be affected by the transformations that need to be taking place in your own life. But there is this ease and flow in doing that. But sometimes it can be so easy that things are crashing around you without your even being aware. Now, Mars, of course, is at 18 degrees of Virgo. So we have Earth, and then we have Pluto at about 18, 20 degrees of the sign of Capricorn. I think it's at 20 degrees, it looks like. And two Earth signs. So that's where the word quake comes from. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there were big Earth quaking incidences somewhere in on the planet this week. That's just sort of the nature of those planets. When they come together, they create turbulence here on Earth. And of course, don't you know, we have the Earth sitting in the gate of turbulence in human design. And the gate six conflict is where the sun is sitting. So we have potential for both kaboom and quaking, and or any kind of Earth moving sort of things to happen. The third major news for the week is the third of three Jupiter square Neptune. And here is our key, our cue, our the piece of information that's going to help you get through the next couple of years is that of being far more in tune with spirit, with your divine self, remembering that you're never a victim. Remember, we've gone through these blocks of time where we were overcoming victimness, where we were letting go of being a martyr, and where we were being our own, finding our own true north. Then we went through that period of time where the sands beneath us were shifting, and we were having to demolish certain things in our lives in order to rebuild. And this is happening, all over the planet, not just for us personally, but also on the bigger stage of the world. And I mean, Brexit, this country, and our polarized, Congress, big issues around abortion and gun control and the economy and trade wars and all kinds of stuff that affects not only the United States, but all around the world. And these are things that are all a part of the bigger changes that are happening, the tapestry of changes on the planet. And the way that we move through that, through all of these big things that are seemingly so out of our control, is that we remember that we are spirit inhabiting a physical body, right? You are a divine human. And divine meaning joined your God self, your source, your divineness is interwoven in with the human part of you. There's not two pieces. There's one piece, and it's the divine human, right? That's what we have to remember. And that is where Jupiter squared Neptune has been creating the pathway for us to remember that. It is also the energy of our staying out of the tricks of the outer world, the falling, victim to the schemes and the scams and the deceptions being perpetrated on us on this planet. And it's kind of funny because this energy, of course, is already closing in together, building, so we would say, or waxing, getting bigger. And this weekend, I discovered I'd been scammed by a company where I had purchased some skin cream from them. And unbeknownst to me, somewhere in the small print, I gave them permission to charge me on a monthly basis for this cream. Well, last month when they tried to do that, I sent them an email. I said, cancel, cancel. I don't want this, and leave it at that. Well, they again charged me money this weekend for the same cream. And it's a good thing that I am tenacious in getting what I want. Because in that respect, because these people were trying to all kinds of things, trying to get me to keep the product, offering me a discount. And I'm like, no, I don't want the product. I don't want the charge. And she's like, well, we're sorry. It's already being shipped to you. And you're going to have to turn around and refuse the shipment. So it'll get shipped back to us. And it'll be 10 to 20 days before we get your money back. And I said, listen to me. I canceled that order. And I mean, I went through all kinds of things with this woman until finally, after I threatened to go to PayPal and have them banned, and I would go to my state's attorney general and I would make sure they were investigated. She finally said, "Well, let me take a look at something here for you." So she puts me on hold and comes back. And guess what? I can refund your money and stop the shipment and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God, how many people would have stopped at the very beginning of that and just, you know, gone with, well, they've got my money and it's going to be 20 days or so before I get my money back. And that's the kind of thing that is happening all over the place. This is minor. Think of the bigger deceptions that are being perpetrated on people, right? So here we have this opportunity to get interior, to be aligned with spirit and to find our inner voice and our intuition, always finding a way to be in the right place at the right time with the right people and right opportunities. And this is the third time we've experienced this energy. The first time was in January. The second time was in June. And here we have the last one of these. And by now, we should get this, right? That we have to be discerning. We have to use our intuition. When people tell us things, we have to be very good at coming in and finding our own personal truth. And that's the big news out of that one for the week. It's not a very busy week in terms of like last week where it seemed like every time we turned around, something was changing. This week is a little quieter, but more intense in that the human design gates that the sun and earth are sitting at are not quiet gates. And already Mercury and Venus are sitting at this gate six. Remember, we talked about that on Friday as they were moving out of Virgo and into Libra. They find themselves sitting at the gate six, which turns out is one of the ancillary gates of love. So we're going to talk about that here in just a second. So let's take a look and see anybody else. Erickson, Christine says, hi, low energy and a migraine. That's so funny because before you said that, I started feeling like this pain in my head and I'm like, my hair's not too tight. It's down. I don't know why I'm getting this headache. Interesting. Linda, good morning to you. Debbie Hedden, good morning. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, good morning to you. I hope everybody that's just joining us had a great weekend. We are looking at a week that is, I want to say quiet. It's quiet in terms of there's no new real big disturbances other than the ones I've just talked about. But the overriding energy of the week is about love. And on the opposite end, the opposite of love, which is conflict and turbulence, is in its worst forms this week. So let's look at what I'm talking about for that. First of all, let's take a look at the human design chart for the day. And as you can see, it's a reflector chart, right? There's nothing here. There's plenty of gates that are hanging, but there is no there's no channels that are connected. So we have all white centers. So in a way, this today anyway, I'm not sure if it's going to be like this all week as the moon moves through things, but it looks like we have this energy of reflection. What are we reflecting to one another and what is the world reflecting to us and what is the reflection that we want to be? So if we dial down now and we look a little closer at this particular chart, you can see that the most activated, if you will, the most activated center right here is the solar plexus. The Earth is sitting here at the gate 36, the Sun sitting here at the gate 6, and Neptune right here at the gate 22. So of all the centers, besides maybe the root center, it is the most activated. So the energy here in the root center is about perseverance and endurance. It is pushing out energy, and the energy here is about emotion. So the solar plexus highlighted and the root center highlighted. So here we have stress management, and here we have emotional stress. So we have some interesting energies in the background going on. And I'm going to first work, let's look at the energies of the gate six, which is where the sun is sitting. So the gate six in its highest and most expressed loving energy is the energy of peace. And in reality, this is really about humanity's ability to live in peace, to create peace on earth. It is that momentary blip that we live on Christmas, where we are focused on family and usually, you know, the whole tenor of the season is about peace, love, joy, right? So it is that higher ideal of peace on earth and that of the higher love of each other here on earth. In the gift energy, it is diplomacy, and in the shadow, it is conflict. So we're finding ourselves on the road of conflict to peace via diplomacy. Interesting. It'd be interesting in the world to see what kind of diplomatic solutions there may be to some of the bigger problems, or do they devolve into conflict? We'll have to wait and see how that plays out. The earth is the place where we live, of course, and so we are embodying this energy of turbulence in the shadow, humanity in the gift, and compassion in its highest expression. So these are energies, of course, sitting on the solar plexus. Turbulence, then we're taking the path from turbulence to compassion, utilizing our humanity or finding our humanity. Now, I want to wax gene keys here for a little bit further because in the gene keys, and I haven't been able to find that graphic lately that I had of all of the codon rings. So for some of you who are new, let me do a quick primer going backwards a little bit and setting the stage for what the gene keys look at. So the gene keys are really just the same as your human design gates. So all of the gates, those numbered areas that you see here in the chart in our human design gates, and then the gene keys, it's one step further, they're called the gene keys, right? The gene keys look at those, the energy in those gates, the traits in those gates in a holographic way or a dimensional way, where things are, if you were to look through it, you would see that there are levels within it of expression, the shadow, the gift, and the siddhi, right? The siddhi being a Sanskrit word that just means the highest expression of something. Now further, when we look at the gene keys are looking at this as traits that are on our DNA. So we're looking at it even more microscopically in that we're looking at the 64 codons in your DNA, and the codons code for traits that you will express as a human being. And those codons tend to gather together in rings, we call them, even though they may not be shaped like rings. Some of them are, but often they're, you know, squares or cubes that, and we're looking dimensionally now. It's not literally that they're squares, but they create these forms together. And the form that we're working with this week is called the Ring of Divinity. And we see this theme being played out across the different types of astrology this week. So we see in regular astrology, Jupiter squaring Neptune, that's been telling us all along to get engaged with and to build a foundation that begins with spirit, our divine self, weaving that into the tapestry, bringing it into wholeness, being a divine human. And now we see in this week that conflict underlies our polarized selves, right? The part where we don't see ourselves together as divine humans, right? We see it as two separate things, divinity and humanity, not being joined together. But I assure you, the energy here showing us that we are conjoined, that our spirit and our physical being are not separate things. It's in every cell of who we are. It's very much down in our very DNA, right? This is what this is showing us this week, the Ring of Divinity, of which the Gate 36 is a part, Gate 36 being the earth energy of humanity, showing us that the Ring of Divinity is interwoven in our DNA, very much part of what makes us human. And as well, there are what makes us human beyond the fact that we're of divineness is the fact that we carry love energy. And love is the glue that binds literally everything in the universe. And we see here then these several gates of love in our human design and in our gene keys. So check in with me, guys. How are you doing with all of this? Kathy, good morning. Jan says the nodes change gates today or tomorrow. The nodes we will talk about this week, they change today. Oh my gosh, I didn't even look at that one. Yep, they change today, but we'll look at the nodal shift tomorrow. Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. There's just too much today, but the nodes are shifting in your human design. They'll now be at the gate of conflict, or the gate of fight, and the gate of provocation. So we have provocation, we have conflict, we have turbulence, and we have fight in the shadows that are now being weaved through us this week. And I can only say this, when we're living in those shadows, we are not living the truth of who we are. And so where you see conflict, where you see turbulence, it is just where more love energy must be applied. That is all that really is. So if you're fighting for something, or if you're in conflict with someone, or with an inner conflict even, where you're feeling that crisis sort of energy within you, or you're seeing it in your outer world, remember to elevate yourself toward that of spirit, the divine self, and bringing and applying more love to the situation. And Kathy says, "Good brr morning. It must be cold." It is. I had to drag out the long sleeve, get the scarves back out, because I don't know what the temperature is, but it's chilly now and damp too. That's the thing. We've had a lot of rain lately, so it's damp. Okay, so Kathy, take care, hun. Stay out of conflict, especially the inner conflict. Maybe just rest today, since you thought you were going to babysit and you're not. Just rest. Okay, so now let's look at love energy in the human design. And I may post this up later on my website, because to me, this is just fabulous energy. And it's off of a grid that I have, so I may be able to copy and paste that in somewhere somehow for you. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 gates of love. Wow. That's giving me a weird feeling inside. 8 gates of love. There are literally the 4 gates of love that sit on the G center, or the identity center, the central part of your human design. It's a yellow diamond if you have it defined, and or it could be white like it is today, because there is no channels that are connected up. So here's the identity center. The gate 10, the gate 15, the gate 46, and the gate 25, all four are the gates of love on the identity center. So they form the compass that takes you through your existence, right? Bringing you to the right experiences. I think we talked about this last week, where it's like a magnet, right? That the coming together of your design crystal and your personality crystal join up and form a monopole, not a dipole. Most magnets we think of are dipoles. One end attracts, the other end repels. But inside of you is a magnet that is a monopole, and it can only attract, right? So it attracts to you those things that you need to experience in order to become more human, to be more loving, and to work out your karma, the things, the imbalances in your life. So also it tends to attract to you the things that you are focusing on in your mind, because the mind and your emotions, they have this intelligence about them, and they don't hear the word, "I don't want to experience that." If you're focusing on those things that you don't want, that magnet is attracting more of that to you, because that's what it hears, that you want more of that. Does that make sense to everybody, right? So in those four gates of love in the identity center, act as a compass, but also as an attractive force, bringing you the experiences that you're focusing your energies on. So if you change what you're focusing on, then the magnet begins to attract more experiences that match what you're focused on. It makes so much sense, right, when we think about this. But those gates, which we already knew about, we've talked about these gates, right? These are the ones that are activated at the turning of the season: 46, 25, 15, and 10. 10 is the love of self, 15 is the love of humanity, 46 is the love of being in the physical body or being, and 25 is the love of spirit. So we have four gates of love in one center, the attractive nature of what you're bringing to you in terms of experiences. It's also people and opportunities, etc. But there are other gates of love that round out the divine human. The one is the gate six, which in its lowest expression, of course, is friction and conflict. But this is a gate of intimacy. So it might be sexual, it could be friendship, it could be a professional relationship, but this gate is the one that we think of that's in control of the expression of who you are inside when you are sharing of yourself most deeply, right? So here is this gate of intimacy, this gate in its highest expression, which becomes peace, and peace being a part of who it is that you are, right? Who you are when you're living in love. So then there is also the gate 27. It is a gate of nourishment, which is the love of caring. It is likely connected to the feminine energy of nurturing, feeding, clothing, taking care of, disciplining, raising children, taking care of one another, being in a community or a tribe. It's tribal energy, and it is the energy, we call it nourishment. It's the love of caring. Then there's the gate 37. The gate 37 is on the emotional center as well. It is the love of family. So we are rounding out the human here. This is the love of being a part of the group, a part of a family, the part of a community, right? It is the true nature of humanity that we like to be in groups. We like to be a part of a family. We want to feel like we belong. So this is the love that is willing to sacrifice individual needs for the good of the group. So the gate 37, also on the emotional center. And then also gate 45, which is on the throat center. We often think of this as a money gate, and truly it is, but it's the love of being in control of material goods or the land or resources. It is the love that we feel when we are able to get all of our needs taken care of, right? So the reaping the benefits and then the sharing of the benefits throughout the community. And then also gate 48, and this one is called the well. It sits on the spleen. It's a survival gate. And this is the love of the details, right? This is the energy that wants to go deep into finding the meaning of everything, and to it's part of the logical thinking process. It wants to know the question why, and it's willing to dig deep to get to it. So the love of the details. And then gate 50, the love of the values. Our values are also a part of love in the family or the tribe, and it is sort of the energy of the guardian, right? The guardian energy. So it's also sitting on the spleen. So we have two spleen gates. We have four on the identity center. We have two on the center for emotion. And we have one on the throat center. So we have these eight gates that create the energy of love. All kinds of love, not just the I love you kind of energy, but love that is bigger and all-encompassing. Let me know if you guys are having questions or any doubts about this. Rebecca says, yes, it makes sense, but could you differentiate between programming partner and the gene key that completes the channel? Yes, I can. Hold on. I will talk about that in a second. Jan says her son is at gate 27. So the son at gate 27 is putting you already at a gate of caring. Right? The sun for you is focusing your energy on caring, nurturing, nourishing, right? Nourishing. So you can do that in many different ways. Maybe you actually feed people. Maybe you feed people information. Maybe you take care of people. Maybe you're a nurse or a teacher. That kind of energy also comes through that gate. And Marjorie, good morning. She's a newbie here from Virginia. Third view and recently signed up for free human design report. Is there a book that I should get to help me with an overview? Oh, yes. That's a great question. There is a book called The Gene Keys by Richard Rudd. Richard is the he takes this energy of the human design gates and he goes into the depth with them. The Gene Keys is probably not a book that's going to give you an overview. It's going to take you deep. And it's a contemplation tool. It's not something you read cover to cover. But there's also a book on human design that you might want to get, and it's called Understanding Human Design by Karen Curry Parker. And in it, it gives you, I think it's a really good overview of all of the different things, the components of human design. So there you've got that, Marjorie, the two different sources there for you. And there are lots of videos, absolutely, on YouTube about human design. Although, here's the thing that I know to be true. A lot of you out there listening are millennials. And I love you, millennials. I just think you're awesome. You know exactly where to go to get information. But what happens when you go out there and you are finding these things piecemeal and then trying to apply them to yourselves is that you don't really get the full picture of who you are. Right? It's like trying to learn astrology by going to that site and then picking up what a planet means and going to that site. You have to have something that's going to weave it all together. And the best thing I know of to weave this story of who you are together isn't going to be found on a YouTube video. It isn't going to be found on a website. It's going to be when you get a human design reading for yourself of your energy and how this works for you personally. I do readings, but many people out there do readings. If you're not, you know, wanting to do a reading with me, which I can't understand why you wouldn't, but hey, to each his own, you can find someone that will do that for you. It's imperative. It's imperative that you get a personal human design reading, because as many times as you can go out there and you can hit up all the sites, as many times as you can join me here in the morning and learn the bits and pieces, no one is going to be able to bring that all together for you. Unless and until you have a full human design reading and you see exactly how to apply all those principles to you personally. All right. Hope that makes sense for everybody. So, yay though, there's plenty of pieces of info out there. You're only getting a part of the picture. You're getting the info, but not how does that info apply to me? All right. Let's see. So the gates of love, the ring of divinity. Oh, going back to Rebecca's question, Rebecca, the difference between a programming partner and the gene key. So the programming partners are part of the same ring, right? They're part of the same ring of divinity. Let me back this up. The program, every gene key or every human design gate has a partner through which it works. So for example, and you'll see this quite clearly when, like, for example, the sun today at the gate 6, its programming partner is the gate 36. And even though those two are at two different centers, or they're on the same center, but they don't form a channel, they can still be programming partners. Every once in a while, though, there's a couple of them. I want to say the 4323 are both programming partners and they also form a channel. So that it gives you some special connection to why that particular energy's programming partners are also the channel that completes the ajna in that case to the throat. It brings it some more focus energy and importance, something to really pay more attention to. But the programming partners, they work together to bring something up. So you can see conflict and turbulence. They're bringing up this energy where we need to shift out of that and into peace and compassion, humanity and diplomacy. So they show us the pathway of the lower energies and how we can work putting those into play in their higher expression, applying love energy to the game here. Makes sense? If that didn't help you, let me know. Okay, now, Pleiadian Earth energy today also shows us the same sort of energy in that it's today is 7 enlightening. 7 is the energy of merging. So we're bringing different viewpoints together. So we're bringing all of those gates of love that we can see and we're joining that divine human together, putting all the parts together, making it whole. And that's merging energy. That is the universal energy of the day. No matter where we would be in this universe, we would be resonating with that energy. It is the energy, you could say, from the galactic center that is shining down on us, from the cosmic center. the center of the Milky Way galaxy, that very potent energy that we are all universally applying today. The earth energy for the day is enlightening, which was Ahau in Mayan. It's the final sign, the 20th sign. It is about committing to ideals and social progress. And committing to ideals, meaning that you have things that you came here to do, and your ideals are important in order to see social progress on the planet. And it is a warning to stay out of that polarized judgment, right, where we see two sides fighting and not being able to see eye to eye and having trouble, you know, getting more and more separation instead of becoming more and more unified. We're trying to create unity, right? And that's part of bringing the human and the divine together within you. Recognition that you are one with the divine. You are not separate from the divine. And that means that every other human around you is also at one with the divine. That makes them at one with you. We are all one. So you can't separate us. But literally, we believe that we can be separated, that there is separation. And until we start to move that energy through us and heal it, we will continue to see this polarized judgment, this division, this separation. And now looking at ourselves, then how can we bring ourselves together and all the parts of love together in within us? All right, I hope that makes sense for everybody. Rebecca says, aha, thank you. You are so welcome. Okay, I wanted to read you a couple of quotes this morning. And here's the where the Gene Key Wisdom of Richard Rudd comes into play. These are quotes from him on the Gate 6. And it says, the sixth shadow of conflict is the single most influential gene key in regard to the issue of human communication. At its highest potential, the sixth gene key is the archetype of peace on earth. Whilst at its lowest potential, it is the root cause of all human conflict. This conflict stems from the emotional system and our inability to handle the voltage of extreme emotional states. As the sixth gift enters into human relationships, the emotional barriers begin to break down between people. So that's his words about the Gene Key 6. And of the Gene Key 36, he says, when your struggles with sexuality and emotional turbulence are finally embraced openly and honestly, a remarkable gift is born. You finally graduate as a human being. So, great study in humanity, human being a human, and also looking at human design and the Gene Keys. Okay, so it is Monday, so let's get my cards here. Ooh, can I pull my two decks over here, and let's see what the energies are for the week. This is your opportunity to form any questions that if you have them for me, and we will answer those. But let's see, what is the card that we can expect? By the way, how did everybody do with the full moon energy? I never did get to see the full moon, because we were so socked in with clouds. I saw the moon for the first time this morning at a break in the clouds right out here. That's the first time I've seen the moon in several days. Okay, so we are looking at a card that is going to show us the way to love and humanity this week. How's that? And this is the deck, Wisdom of the Oracle by Colette Baron-Reed. And one of my favorite decks. Oops, okay. So this card is the Tribe. The Tribe, and it is card number 8, a number of humanity, a number of infinity. Look at that card. You see the giraffe kissing the baby giraffe. The tree has a spirit face in it. Or what is that, a home? It looks like sticks, maybe. Hey, I don't know. Look at that. All right, so let's see. Gate card 8. Okay, the essential meaning, and by the way, it was right side up, community, belonging, being seen and understood by others, like-minded connections, a sense of family and friendship, knowing your place in the world. And the message says, this card signals a new affiliation with a group. Humans are social creatures, and we need to know we are useful to our tribes, families, and communities. In a tribe, everyone has an important function and feels I matter. Membership in the group provides a sense of belonging, of kinship, and of purpose that comes from working together for the greater fulfillment of all. Perhaps you are part of a spiritual community or an artistic one. Perhaps you are in a learning community where you share your love of education. Regardless of its form or focus, your community brings you joy. You will be inspired by it and want to contribute to it. Your contribution may be as small as showing up or as large as becoming its leader. No matter your position in the tribe, your presence is needed. That's cool. Cool, cool card. And let's get an animal to lead and guide us this week from also a Colette Baron deck, Colette Baron Reed deck, I mean, Spirit Animal Oracle. Love this one. And again, what animal can show us through love and compassion and being more human? Interesting that we're going to animals to find out how to be more human. Hummingbird. Hummingbird. Oh, two cards. Hummingbird and deer. And deer upside down and hummingbird right side up. Let's take a look at those cards. By the way, hummingbird is card number 34 and deer spirit is number 18. Deer spirit says, bring us a gentle touch. And hummingbird says, be here now. Let's make sure I get the right book. 34. The hummingbird's wings beat so swiftly it can hover in seeming stillness as it drinks deeply from a flower. Hummingbird spirit comes to remind you that the beauty and sweetness of life is in the eternal now, the timeless present. Here and now, you are becoming the person you wish to be, to have the experiences you wish to have. Focus your energy on the flower before you, for what you desire is being provided. Yes, there are blossoms everywhere. The choices can be dazzling. Hummingbird Spirit's message is that you have no need to go about in search of something better, for all that you require and desire is before you. You will know this as you become still, feeling your connection to Spirit, who loves you unconditionally and will always provide for you. Nice. And then Deer Spirit, which was in protection. And it says, Dear Spirit is bringing you a gentle warning that now is not the time to engage in an argument, no matter how volatile others are being. Good advice. Do not match their intensity with your own. If you are dealing with an overly assertive person, step back and disengage, lest you agree to something out of alignment with your intentions. Don't let anyone bully you into anything you're uncomfortable with. You have solid footing if you stand your ground with grace. Those who disagree will begin to find their own gentleness and willingness to compromise. Deer Spirit also brings the message that it might be easy to offend someone today or take offense because someone lacks diplomacy. Interesting word. Let all of that pass. You are not meant to take the world personally. While it's a beautiful gift to be sensitive today, you need a tougher hide so that any compromises you make allow you to maintain your integrity. Nice, eh? Hold on, some Zoom thing. There we go. Popped up. All right. So those are our cards to guide us this week, right? The deer and hummingbird and the tribe. Nice. All right. Let me check one last time for questions. I don't see any. So it looks like everybody's doing well. In the meantime, I hope everybody has a great week. Remember that you are a magnetic monopole. You are attracting to you the things that you need or that you want or that you're focused on. Make them good things. Make it about being a human. Make it about being love energy. Make it about being a divine human. All right, take care. See you tomorrow morning. Bye for now.